Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
If you'll get a hold of what I've said this week and really what I'm going to say tonight in the morning, I promise you, you won't have any problem with giving a mission. And again, faith promise, a lot of people. Brother Beatty and I was riding up the road together today. And I told him, I said, there's a lot of people that say they do faith promise that they don't understand faith promise. And faith promise tonight is not what you can do. Faith promise is what God will do through you. Now, I'm really going to illustrate that in the morning so don't miss the service in the morning. And so I want to encourage you tonight, and I'm going to talk to you a little while tonight. I'm going to read the text in just a minute. I'm going to talk to you a little while tonight on investing for eternity. Investing for eternity. There's just one life, and Brother Jim can quote this also, because he and I about the same age. No, that ain't right. He's 55 and his wife's 50. There's just one life, and that life will soon be passed, and all that's done for Christ is all it's going to last. And I know I've said that several times this week, but I'll say it again before I get up. Investing for eternity. I think more about eternity now than I ever have in my life. And I think about there's going to be a day I'll be ushered in at the bema seat of Christ and give an account of what I do here on earth. We'll not give an account for our sins. That's already been taken care of. But we will give an account for our service. And we ought to invest for eternity. Many years ago, I was thinking back there a while ago, this is probably... Your pastor was probably about this tall when this happened. My wife and I, this guy that was a financial advisor, a good friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, and he wanted to sit down and talk to my wife and I about investing, investing. And he began to talk, and he said, now, how much do you have in your portfolio? I said, no, Brother Jim, we've never had polio. And I had no idea what he's talking about. And he began to say, now, if you're going to invest, you can invest several different ways. You can invest in stocks. You can invest in IRAs. You can invest in a 401k. You can invest in savings account. You can invest in mutual funds or money market or CD. And he began to mention several different ways that we could invest for the future. And that's man's plan for investment. I'll talk to you tonight about God's plan for investment tonight. And I'll say there's a world of difference in them two investments tonight. Bible says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And I'll say tonight, faith promise tonight is not the only way to invest in the work of God, but it sure is a good way tonight. And I want you to listen to him again tonight. We're only coming through here one time. We're going to step off the scene some of these days. We're going to preach our last sermon. We're going to live our last day. And I go to bed every night now. Boy, I'm more thankful now than I've ever been in my life that I can go to bed and go to sleep and sleep all night. You young people looking at me strange. You'll be that one day, won't they, Brother Jim? They'll thank God they can sleep all night. And of course, I don't sleep all night. I normally, but I'm moving on. But listen to me. I want to say this to you now. The older you get, the more you think about things like that. And I want to talk to you now about investing for eternity this evening. Don't you look with me tonight in Matthew 25. And again, faith promise and mission giving is not the holy way to invest, but it's a good way tonight. Now, don't you help me read tonight. Look at your Bible, because I want you to help me read. Are you ready? Matthew 25, look at verse 14. To understand this, you need to understand this first statement. For the kingdom of heaven, and there's a difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of heaven is outwardly. And he's getting ready to give a parable here. He's getting ready to give a truth. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling to a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivereth unto them his goods. And one to one he gave 5 talents. Now, you need to understand what a talent is. This lady that just got done singing, not doing a great job. Playing the piano and singing tonight. Somebody said she's got a good talent. That's not her talent. A talent is a gift tonight that God gives you. That's not her talent. That's a gift that God's given her. But a talent tonight is something altogether different. Notice again the Bible says in verse 15. No one he gave 5 talents and to another 2 and to another 1. Every man according to his servability and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and, I need the next word, traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. Look at verse 17. And likewise also he that had received the 1, he also, look what he does, he also does what? Gain other 2 talents. And he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and notice this, digged in the earth, and hid, give me the next 3 words, his Lord's money. It wasn't his money. It was his Lord's money. And what you have tonight is not yours. God has given it to you. Everything I've got tonight, God give it to me. And the Bible said he hid his Lord's money. Look at verse 19. Now after a long time, what's that next word? The Lord of those servants came and reckoned with him. Now, he's Lord of all 3 servants. You need to hang on to that statement. And he came, the Bible says here, and reckoned with them. There's accountability. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have what? Gained beside them 5 other talents, 5 more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Look at the next verse. He also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. And behold, I have, what did he do with them? Gain. He invested them. Invested them. That's what he's talking about. 2 other talents beside them. His Lord saith unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then watch this verse here. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord. Now he's going to tell 3 lies right here. Look what he's saying to the Lord. Thou art a hard man. He's not a hard man. He's making excuses. Look at the verse. Verse number 24. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. That's not true. And where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strong. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. Look at verse 26. His Lord saith unto him, thou wicked and slothful. What's the next word? Never a time he's not a servant. A servant. Look at the next verse, verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore have put whose money? Help me now. My money to exchange. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. You know what that word is? It's interest. And you should invest it right. Take you therefore from him, and take it that talent therefore from him, and give it unto him which has the 10. Look at verse 30 for the sake of time. And cast ye the unprofitable servant in the outer darkness where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to walk down through these verses with you tonight. And don't you notice 3 things by way of introduction tonight? Notice the 3 things that happens here. First of all, there's a man here that's got 5 talents. Now, that's a man that has much ability. There's another man here that's got 2 talents. And by the way, a talent was 20 years' wages. There's another man here that's got 2 talents. That's an average ability. Then there's another man here tonight, and here I am, that's got little talents, got this just 1 talent. And that stands for just a little ability tonight. But they all received opportunity. Every one of them had an opportunity to invest and to do something for God. And what's so wonderful about these three things tonight is simply this tonight. All three of them have opportunity, and it wasn't the amount that made the difference. It wasn't the amount, but rather it was the priority. It's what they did with what they had. It wasn't the amount they had, but rather God looks at the ability they had. And I'll say this to you tonight, and by the way, all three of them could have had the same reward. Though one had less talent than the other, had he been faithful what God gave him, he could have the same reward. Notice something in this here tonight. Notice this right here. Look at verse number 15. Bible says in verse 15, to understand it, watch this, get this thought. Bible says in verse 15, and he gave one 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his servability. And get this statement. And straightway, take his journey. Who you reckon that is? That's a picture of the Lord Jesus tonight. Now look at verse 19. Bible said in verse 19, after a long time, his Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him. It's a picture this evening, him going back to heaven. We're here on earth. And by the way, you know what we are tonight? We're stewards tonight. How we have been put in charge this evening. And notice this tonight. They all had opportunity. They all could invest. And they all had opportunity tonight. And Jesus gave each one of them the opportunity. And if you notice Matthew, we don't have time to deal with this, but Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 both is dealing with the end time events. And what he's saying is, what are you doing while he's gone? He's in heaven right now, but guess what? He's going to come back. And what are we doing with what we got while he's gone? What are we doing tonight with that God has blessed us with tonight? Some have more talents than others. Some have more ability than others. And it's not the portion that you've got, but it's the priority. You'll say, well, I'm not like others. Our pastor gets up here and sings and plays the guitar. That ain't what that's talking about at all. I'm talking about that God has given you. And I'll tell you tonight, God wants you to invest in the work of God. It's not talking about a talent to sing or a plan. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about investment tonight. And again, I'll say this tonight. It wasn't the portion that made the difference. It was the priority. And the one that got the one talent could have had, are we on the screen? Oh, yeah, we're on the screen. The one that had the one talent could have the same reward as the man that had 5 talents had he been faithful what he had, what he done, according to their sub-ability. And I'll just say this to you tonight. Hey, hear me real good this evening. God is interested in that. And what you've got tonight. He wants to use you this evening. And how true that is tonight. Notice two or three things real quick before I get to my main thought. They all were appointed stewards. They all was a steward. And you know who that is? As somebody that's been put in charge while the main one's gone. I said that somebody that's been put in charge while the main one's gone. Let me illustrate it. Y'all don't know this tonight. But Brother Robert and Christy Potts has a farm on the other side of Crater Lake. It's about a 500-acre farm. He has a lake in there that's about 30 acres of lake, full of brim and crappie and New Yankees crappie. Are you listening? And Brother Robert says to me, I'm going to be gone for 2 years. While I'm gone, I'm going to put you in charge of my farm. You take care of it. You make sure everything's taken care of. And when I get back, I'll promise you I'll take care of you. That's exactly what our Lord's saying right here. And when y'all leaving? Monday. I got to go to Pennsylvania Monday. I can't do it. But listen, that's exactly what this parable's all about tonight. He takes his journey into a far country. And after a long time, in verse 19, there's all appointed stewards. God has put you in charge of something tonight. And it's not the portion that you've got that makes a difference, but it's the priority. It's what you do, what you've got tonight. And notice this tonight. Not only are they always appointed stewards, but notice number two quickly tonight, before I get to my main thought, they all had responsibility according to their ability. It wasn't how smart they was or not. It was according to that God had given them. And again, I want to say this to you now. They was given responsibility according to their ability in verse 15. Notice something else about this. They all could have had the same reward. Even though one had five talents, the other had two, they yet could have the same reward had they been faithful what God had given them. And I'll just say this now. Don't cry over what somebody else can do. Whatever you can do, give it your best. Whatever you can do, give it your best for the glory of God. And how true that is tonight. So with that in mind, I want to talk to you a little while tonight on investing for eternity. Investing for eternity. Now, there's three things I want to say tonight. And 40 years ago plus, when I sat down with that financial advisor, these three things is exactly what he said to me. What he didn't realize was that couple sitting across the table from him didn't have enough money to pay attention. And he's talking to us about investing. He's my dear friend's the only reason I went to. I didn't have nothing to invest. That's almost 45 years ago. And I didn't have anything to invest. And I didn't have any money. I really didn't. But here's what I want to say to you now. Three things he told me I've never forgot. And if you go to financial advisor Edward Jones or whoever tonight and tell him you want to invest, they're going to say these three things to you. Number one, and I'll say this tonight, invest in the right things. Invest in the right things. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They will never tell you to invest in a company that's getting ready to go belly up. They're going to look at the situation. They're going to look at the companies down through the years that I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. They're going to look at the companies that's really prospered and bloomed. In the last 5 years, they're going to look at the stocks of fuel, other stocks, whether it's Lowe's. They're going to see where it's really bloomed. In the last 5 years, and here's what they're going to say, invest in the right thing. I want to say, church, invest, hello, Tokyo, in the right thing. I come out the door of an insurance office some time ago, and I'll not name the name because we're on the internet, but over they had a paper up there, a banner, and it said, guarantee 4.5% on your money. Now, if you believe that, I have some oceanfront land in Montana I'd like to sell you. They ain't 4.5% nowhere right now. Are you listening to me? But that's what it said. It said 4.5% on your money. And I stopped and I said, who's guaranteeing that? That guy said, I would have you to know, in the last 59 years, this company, and I'll tell you who it was after service, you want me to, this company. And he goes on and talks about how they hadn't failed at 4.5% in the last 59 years. Well, they lied because I put some money in it. And I believe it's on the minus side now. Y'all hear me tonight? Hey, listen to me tonight. They're going to say this, invest in the right thing. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on. The investments in this world is as shaky as can be. You realize this tonight, in 1990, I looked this up again. In July 1990, we had what was called Black Friday. William Schaffner woke up that morning worth $20 million. When he went to bed that night, he was worth $97,000. Invest in the right thing. Of course, something's happened in 2014, he's worth $100 million. But anyhow, lost $20 million almost in one day. Martha Stewart, think about this. Martha Stewart, and that was 2002, lost $40 million in one day. That'd give you a bad day. May have been while she's in prison, I don't know. But she lost $40 million in one day. Sure, she's not hurting too bad right now. She's worth $800 million now. But here's what I want to say to you. Invest in the right thing. Invest in the right thing. The older I get, and y'all know I keep repeating that. And the reason I keep repeating it, I'm older now than I was the last time I was here. The older I get, the more I realize there's only one sure investment. Now, I'm not against the retirement plan. I'm not against laying money up for a rainy day. We've done been through that. But I'll tell you something. Don't drive your stakes too deep in this world. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? You say, preacher, are there sure investment in this day? Yes, there is. Let me tell you about it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's your question tonight. Are you investing in the right things? In the right things? In the last week, and I'm not tooting my whistle, and I'm not going to tell you where it was at. But in the last week, I don't know how many checks my wife has wrote to different ministries. And I promise you, we more than tithe at this church. I promise you, our faith promise. Ask Miss Stephanie back there. And I don't put my tithe nowhere. I belong to this church. This is where I come. But there's some other ministries. And even this week, I don't know how many checks she's wrote this week. You say, preacher, what do you say? I'm investing for eternity. Hey, I'm just coming through here one time. Lay it up, friend, lay it up. Every dime of it will be there when you get there. Anybody see the stock market Friday? I'm moving. Number two, he said invest in the right thing. The second thing Brother Jim said to me that day, not only invest for the right thing, but he said number two, invest for the long term. Number two, invest for the right thing. Are you listening to it? Or invest for the long term. In other words, here's what he said. Give me your money and forget it. It's kind of hard for me to do that. I don't mind giving it to the Lord and forget it. But it's kind of hard for me to give it to somebody. He said, invest for the long term. And what he said was, whatever you're getting ready to invest, just forget about it. Invest for the long haul, the long haul. And forget about it. In other words, what you invest, what he'll do, he'll show you what it's going to be 20 years from now. Don't always believe that. But I'll tell you where you can invest it. And I'll tell you where it will be when you get there. Every dime of it. That's what this whole parable's about. Investing and gaining tonight. And listen to me now. He would always say, invest for the long term. Won't you listen to me this evening? Everything in this life is temporal. I said everything in this life. Paul said it this way. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I will tell you, when you invest in missions tonight and give the faith promise, and I'm going to deal with that faith promise thing tomorrow. I'll tell you, listen to me now. You're investing for the long haul. Thank God every dime of it to be there when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and multiply it over you. Listen to me. Invest for the long haul. My daddy is in heaven. I miss my daddy so bad I can't stand it. He's been gone 15 years. 07, is that right? And I miss him more tonight than I've ever missed him. But I'll tell you, my daddy taught me a lesson. He taught me two or three lessons. Number one, taught me a lesson about praying. Number two, taught me a lesson about soul winning. But number three, taught me a lesson about investment. When my daddy died, listen to me, when my daddy died, I don't think, you can correct me, Mom, I can't remember, but I don't think we had enough money. He had enough money to pay his funeral bill. It got paid, and it got paid good. And he gave away everything he ever made. I'm telling you, he gave away everything he ever made. He retired from Chatham's many, many, many years ago. And, he got a whopping retirement of $5,000 after being there almost 40 years. And but after he retired, of course, he's pastoring churches, and after he retired, he pastored his first full-time church that could take care of him. He pastored churches and preached every week, but I'm talking about where they could take care of him in the ministry. And, boy, he was so happy and he's so excited. And I remember in his latter years, I guess he's probably in his 70s, probably close to 80, he got him a little job in the city of Rhonda, North Carolina. Everybody needs to go to Rhonda, North Carolina. And if you'll go to the ninth stoplight, turn left, go three more lights and turn right, you'll see City Hall. And Daddy got a job. And they wouldn't let him work. I mean, he reminded me a whole lot like a state worker. Where's Josh? He leaned on the shovel a lot. He didn't do nothing. They wouldn't let him work. He used to be a town commissioner, and everybody in the country knowed him. He's everybody's pastor in that part of the world. And he preached. I still go up there now. You know who preached my funeral? You know who married me and my wife? I hear that all the time. But here's what I started to say. My daddy gave away everything he ever made. Now, I told him, me and Jerry went to him one day, and we told him, said, Dad, you need to quit that job. And of course, he didn't work. He didn't do nothing. He just showed up. And I said, Dad, listen, you don't need to do that. And he looked at me and he said, you know why I do that? He said, that money I get out of that little job, I give it to missionaries. I don't keep it. I give it to missionaries. I said, well, listen, Dad, if you'll come home and quit doing that, you'd get close to 80, and probably 80 at that time. I said, me and the brothers, we'll take care of you, Dad. Whatever you make, we'll give it. No, I ain't going to do that. I do that so I can give it to missionaries. And when my daddy passed away, my mom called me one day. I went up there. She said, what am I going to do? She said, this money, Daddy's been giving all these missionaries. I don't have all that money. What am I going to do? I said, Mama, God will take care of God will meet the need. You just do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. And he did. My daddy died. He lived in a 14-foot wide single trailer, and I'm not throwing rocks at one. If you've got one, nothing wrong with that, but that's what he lived on. Had about an acre and a quarter of land there, and the old house we lived in, I'd brought up, it had been torn down many years, and he bought that mobile home, and it was been handed down two or three different families when he got it, and that's what him and mom lived in until they died, and gave everything away they've ever made. You just wait till we get to heaven. Are you hearing me tonight? You talk about investing for the long term. He won't work the things which are seen were temporal, but the things which are not. are y'all hearing me preach tonight? And I'll say that I'm feeling that way myself the older I get. Oh, I want to invest for the long term. I want to invest in the right thing. And how true that is tonight. Listen to me now. There's no sure investments in this world. Moth and rust were corrupt. Are you listening to me? That financial advisor say, don't even come back to see me about this for 20 years. It's kind of hard for me to do. That's my money. I don't even ask any questions 20 years. Look down the road 20 years, see what it's going to be. Are you listening to me? I tell you what, it might be sunk. I mean, remember J. Harold Smith. Heard Dr. J. Harold Smith tell this story. He said there was this older couple in this church, and they were afraid of the bank, and they wouldn't put money in the bank. And years and years went by, and one day the old fella died. And after he died, his family knew where he had put the money. And they went in the backyard. They put it in quart jars, masonry jars, and put the leads on it, and put it in quart jars and buried it in the backyard. And after he died, the family went out and dug up those quart jars. They'd been there for years. And when they dug them up, they'd all broke and busted, and all they found was a bunch of green dust. Are y'all hearing me? Lay not treasures up on this earth. Invest for the long term. Invest in the work of God. Oh, my, listen to me. Every dime of it, I promise you, every dime of it will be there. Get this. He said, number one, invest in the right thing. Number two, invest for the long term. And then Brother Jim said this. Number three, Preacher Barker, when you invest, be diversified in your investments. I said, yeah, give me some of that too. Are you listening? Diversified. You say, what does that word mean? Can I give you some low-gap language? Don't put all your eggs in the same basket. That's what it's talking about. Invest in different things. And I love our pastor, and I love our church tonight. We got missionaries, and he can tell you who all that tonight. If I'd have got here on time tonight, I didn't get here on time. If I'd have got here on time, I wanted to pull up the internet back there and see what all of our missionaries are, our church supports. My last church, when I left, was supporting about 140, 150 missionaries. When I left Turner's Creek, was supporting 235 missionaries a month. And diversified all over the world. I know you don't remember Dr. Wade. You don't believe this, but I used to be Macedonia. And Dr. Wade was my dear friend. And when Macedonia first started many, many years, 1967, you know more about this than I do if you're with them. In 1967, Dr. Everett started Macedonia. You know where it started at? In Haiti. And they put all their eggs in one basket. And they built churches there. And then it began to branch out and began to branch out and began to branch out. Now they're in 30-some different countries around the world. And that financial advisor said, hey, look, be diversified in your investment. Don't put all your eggs in the same basket, because if it goes down, you're going to be in trouble. Look up here and listen to me. I know where this church is tonight that's not diversified. They got $1 million in this account. They got $1 million in this account. And they got another million. They got all their money. They're not diversified. Are you listening to me? And you write this down, and you take what I'm getting ready to say. I've watched those churches down through the years. And those that will not support missions, and those that are selfish, and all they do, are you listening? I know there's a bunch of them tonight, not even business doors, not even, there ain't a building there no more. Because they were so selfish. Are you listening to me? Oh, my, hear me well tonight. God, help us to be diverse, invest in the right thing. Oh, listen, I won't, I thought about this week. Help that the cause. So she writes a check. Then I told her, hey, write a check to this right here. She wrote another check. And then I saw another thing. I said, hey, let's write a check over here this week, this ministry here. And three or four this week, she's put, are you listening to me? Diversify. And one of these days when I get to jump to the seat of Christ, I'm going to have forgot about every bit of that. But guess what? When I get there, there's going to be a reckoning day. He's gone away, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, those spirits, are you listening to me? He said, be diversified. Be diversified. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to give you this, and I'm done. I want you to notice three things about these servants. Number one of them, we see the picture of the faithful. Look at verse 21. Bible says in verse 21, watch this verse. And his Lord said unto him, this is one that invested thee 5 talents. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know what he's doing? He's preparing his position in the millennial. Y'all didn't get that. The kingdom of heaven is outwardly. It's kingdom principles. And he's saying, during the millennial, I'm going to let you rule over a lot of things. That's what he's saying. So, and notice, you got, first of all, you see the picture of the faithful. He observed, he obeyed, and he obtained. And notice the second thing. You don't see the picture of the faithful, but then you see the picture of the unfaithful. Look at verse 18. Bible says in verse 18, and he that received the one went and digged in the earth and hid, notice his next word, his whose money? His Lord's money. You see the picture of the unfaithful. Look at verse 25. He hid his Lord's money. Then he says in verse 25, he says, I was afraid and I hid thy talent in the earth. I didn't want the Lord wanted him to do with that. He wanted him to exchange it. He wanted to have usury. He wanted to interest with it. He wanted to double it. The one that had 5 wound up with 10. The one that had 2 wound up with 4. And I want to say this to you now. That's what God wants you to do tonight. He wants you to invest in the work of God tonight. And he'll double that and triple that and triple that over and over again when you do. Hey, you see the picture of the unfaithful. Bible said they dug in the earth. I want to ask you a question. Where are you hiding yours tonight? Where are you putting yours tonight? Where are you hiding yours tonight? Don't you know thieves may break through and steal? Huh? And don't you know it's going to fade away one day after a while? He digged in the earth. And by the way, notice again in verse 18, he had no right to do that, because the Bible says here in verse 18, he hid his Lord's money. It wasn't his, it's Lord's. And again, I'll say this to you now, everything I've got tonight is his, it's not mine. Everything you've got tonight, God give it to you tonight. You see the picture of the unfaithful. You see the picture of the faithful. But then you see the picture of the unfruitful. The unfruitful, look at verse number 30. Bible says in verse 30, here's a verse that throws a lot of people in left field. Watch this verse. He says, take ye therefore the talent from him, in verse 28, and give unto him which have the 10. In other words, you've lost it. Now look at verse 30. And cast you the unprofitable servant, that's the servant that took his talent and dug in the earth and hid it. Look at the verse. And cast you the unprofitable, notice this. It does not say unsaved. It doesn't say that. He said, cast you the unprofitable servant. Listen to me tonight. There never was a time he wasn't numbered with the 3 servants. He's a saved man. You say, I don't believe that. Well, look, you got to understand what he's talking about. He's talking about kingdom principles. Listen to this. Cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there should be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Now, I know what that's talking about. You and I both know when you have reference to that, 99% of the time it's talking about hell. I know that. But this man is not a lost man. He's a saved man. And he's an unfruitful man. and he took his Lord's money and dug in the earth and hid it. And again, you got to realize this now. He's talking about kingdom principle. And you know what's going to happen during the millennial? What you do now is going to determine your position in the millennial. Are you listening to me? I'm living for eternity. I'm investing for eternity. You say, millennial, what are you talking about? You know anything about being post-millennialist? Pre-millennialist? You know about that. Pre, you know what? We believe we're leaving out before the tribulation starts. And when the tribulation's over, we're coming back. Are you listening to me? We're leaving out like Superman. We're coming back like the Long Ranger. Huh? Yeah. And your daddy, Miss Gay, and you sing about that. And I'll just say this to you tonight. Hey, during the millennial, are you listening? What do you want during the millennial? I don't be casting out of darkness, put over here on a shelf doing nothing. That's 1,000 years on this earth. He may let me be mayor of Logan. If he does, I'm gonna do some improving. We're going to put a Walmart right up Logan. Amen. Are you listening? Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I don't know what my position will be. But I'll tell you that. Listen, by the way, this don't have a thing to do with salvation. Not one thing does that have to do with salvation. This has to do with service tonight. Investing for eternity. And he said in the verse, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen to this verse right here. The Bible said in Matthew 8, verse number 11, I say unto you, many shall come in from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven outwardly. And notice this verse, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, them that didn't invest, them that didn't serve, outer darkness, and thou shalt be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Wouldn't you hate to be set on the sideline for 1,000 years while everybody else is enjoying the millennial? You'll say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you can do whatever you want to do. If you don't do it, you'll believe it one day. I'll promise you that. And I'll tell you something tonight. This man never was a time he wasn't saved. He's Lord's money. His Lord's money. His servant, my servant, over and over again. And again, listen to me now. It's the unfruitful one. And I'm telling you, what you're doing right now is going to determine a lot what your state's going to be in eternity. Now, we're going to heaven, there's no doubt about it. Somebody said, if I just get in by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. I won't. And you won't either. Are you listening to me? I don't be just set on the side. Kingdom of heaven. I don't just be set on the side. And again, what you do now is going to have a whole lot to do what your state as far as your position is in eternity. Well, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And can I tell you something about that? He's not going to lie when he says that. Are you listening to me? Don't have a thing to do going to heaven. You're born again, you're going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to be the millennial. You might not rule. You may be sitting over in the bleachers with his weeping gnashing of teeth. But are you listening to me? Y'all looking to be strange. I'm in the King James Bible. Are you listening? How many remember J. Vernon McGee? I'm done. How many remember J. Vernon McGee? I was preaching in Wyoming. One night I got done preaching. I went to preach in Wyoming. I was preaching in South Dakota. When I was North American director of Macedonia. If one of our missionaries, Brother Jesse Haley, he's still with Macedonia, I think. But anyhow, we went downstairs after service. And there's an old preacher in that church there in South Dakota that had retired from California, pastored in California for years, and had moved to South Dakota in his retirement. We're sitting there and we're eating dinner together, and he's sitting across the table from me. And I said, sir, I want to ask you a question. I said, you lived in California all those years and pastored in California all those years. I said, did you ever know a preacher out there by the name of J. Vernon McGee? When I said that, Brother Robert, he quit eating. He laid his spoon down, fork down, pushed his plate to the side, pushed back in the seat, said, did I know him? He's my neighbor. Great man of God. I said, I agree with you. I read everything he's got. And you say, well, he wasn't even a Baptist. Well, when Baptists start writing good stuff, I'll read theirs. But anyhow, are you listening to me? I've got all this stuff. I read him all the time. And here's what I started to say. By the way, if you want some good enlightenment in what I've just preached tonight, read Warren Wiersbe. But here's what it starts saying. He said, J. Vernon McGee. He said, he's my neighbor. Boy, we started talking, and I was feeling him out. Old J. Vernon McGee is from Tennessee. And he said, do you know how he died? I said, yes, I know how he died. He died of cancer. He said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, do you know where he died? Do you know what happened to him? I said, he died of cancer. He said, let me tell you what happened. When you got to McGee, and through the Bible broadcasting, and through the Bible, all that's connected with that's worth millions of dollars. When he got sick and knew he was going to die, they put him in a nursing home. But before they put him in a nursing home, they got everything out of his name and got all that business, the big business of, through the Bible broadcasting network, all that. They got all that taken out. Legally, I don't know how they done it. Got it all taken out. He had nothing to, it was his, but he had nothing to do with it. And he went in a nursing home and died in a nursing home, broke as a convict. And every bit of that, J. Vernon McGee, through the Bible stuff, all that stuff that's still going on radio around the world today, is still going. But he got out of his name, so a nursing home could never get access to it. And died in a nursing home, broke as a kid, didn't have a dime in his pocket. Are you listening? You'll say, oh, how terrible. No, I say how wonderful. Hallelujah. Are you listening? If I knew just a few days before I died, my youngest probably hopes I don't know just a few days before I die. Because if I knew just a few weeks before I was going to die, I don't have much. But I tell you what I like to do with it. I tell you what I'm going to do between now and then. I'm just going to keep on investing in the work of God. Investing for eternity. What are you doing with the talent God has given you? Some of you got one, some of you got two, some of you got five. Some of you have more ability than others. It's not the portion that made the difference, it's the priority that made the difference. That's why the reward's going to be the same. And I'll tell you tonight, don't cry over what you can't do. What you can do, you give it your best. And with the judgment seat of Christ, are you listening to me? There's going to be some that had a whole lot more talent than you got, going to be sitting in the back seat. And you're going to be up front because, hello, I tell you what that makes me want to do. It makes me want to shout because God is a just God. And number two, it makes me want to do something and invest in the work of God. All my invest in the work of God. Every time I hear a missionary, I just want to give him rest of his support so he can go on the field. He wants me to. Are you listening? Are you listening? I like to do that. I like to do that. Who are you investing at tonight? Let's invest some in this right here. Let's invest in this minister over here. Hey, let's invest in this boy's home right here. Hey, let's invest in this girl's home right here. Hey, here's a preacher that's struggling. Let's help him out a little bit. Hey, let's put some right here. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Investing for eternity. Amen. Let's stand together.